Welcome to Generating X. I am G Cole.
It's your man C Rob.
And JT may be joining us later. He may be eating when he joins us. C Rob is eating now.
I'm munching.
It's the post Thanksgiving show. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving with the family and all the good things and enjoyed that time, you know, with your family, friends, whoever it may be. Hope you ate well. All right. So C Rob's got a couple of things on his mind we're gonna, you know, address, you know. So, you know, the floor is yours, Mr. Robinson.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Like you said, you know, it was post Thanksgiving, man. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did. I ate a whole lot. It's what I call my fat week. Normally after the holidays, I'll take a week off so I can put on some extra pounds, man. No offense to anybody, but I call it my fat week. Well, I'm eating all the leftovers, you know, and munching on all the stuff that I don't normally eat during a week. So I'm right in the middle of that right now. So, yeah, it's a couple things, man. There's a couple things that caught my attention. One of them is in the media right now. It's real big. It's about your man, Diddy, Puffy, or what do you call himself, Dr. Love, or what?
Brother Love, Brother Love.
Hey, Brother Love ain't showing that much love though. Over these last 30 years or 35 years, he's been in the industry, and who knows what he was doing prior. What you think about all this speculation, man? What do you think about all this, man? He came out and gave up $30 million without
any type argument. Let me tell you, brother. You don't know this because you've been in Wisconsin, you know. I've been in the East Coast, you know, New York, and you hear things, right? You don't know it, but you hear all these things. And things like this were things that were heard a lot in New York about Puffy, the way he acts, the things he does. There's so much stuff. Some of the things I'm not going to repeat, you know, there's some things about his sexual proclivities that people talked about, same sex things, you know, I've heard about. It's been a lot of things. And then where there's smoke, like I said, there's fire. The Kid Cudi thing where he lit Kid Cudi's car on fire, blew it up, however you want to talk about it. That was in the streets. A lot of people heard about that, know about that. He had a lot of rappers, former rappers, just upset with him, just kind of thought he was shady. You know, they used to go on the radio and talk, and then Puffy would come back on the radio and give his story. And that was a lot of that. And it just ain't Puffy. It's a lot of that stuff. That's the kind of New York culture.
Okay.
Where not so much anymore, where now all these big, you know, like our iHeart Radio and all Odyssey bought all these stations up. So it's not the same. When it was more local, independent kind of a thing, guys would come on, Jay-Z would come on, you know, not that Jay-Z did anything wrong, but he would come on and talk about things in the street and things that happened. Dame, Puffy, Jada, Kiss, like a lot of these dudes. And so you would hear a lot of these things. 50 would come on, and you would hear a lot of these things. They would reference them, reference all these things, reference the Tupac thing, you know, just, but now it's coming out. Now, it, you know, you can only hide it for so long. And once one comes out, it's yeah, like right. The Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Yeah, once right. Somebody gets enough courage, once one person gets enough courage, everything comes out. And I liken it to the Deshaun Watson thing. It's too many things for it not to be, for it to be rumors of people just talking about you. It's just too many things that's up with this dude. And hey, it's coming back to get him.
Yeah, man, it's like if you go all the way back to Craig Mack, of course, Biggie, Mace, man, you know, it's dude hands seem dirty as hell right now, man.
There was a lot of dudes, if you watch the Bad Boy reunion documentary or whatever that was from a couple of years, there's a lot of probably like four of them maybe that hop to religion, and it makes you wonder, right. what did they see? Right. What happened that made them?
What kind of spirit are they trying to clean their soul? Because they saw too much.
Leave the industry and hop to religion like that.
And you know, if you've seen a lot of dirt, or you did a lot of dirt, and you feel guilty that you didn't say anything or stop it, you kind of run to religion,
right?
To kind of repent and try to wash those sins away. Yeah, man, it's just some of the stories I heard about dog, I want not to be true. But it's just like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it's a whole lot of smoke coming from a whole lot of different chimneys, man.
Whole lot of smoke.
So then, what do you think about? I know as far as murder, there's no statute of limitations.
Right.
Do you think in cases like this and other cases similar, there should be statute of limitations?
So, to me, and I'm trying to remember if New York has statute of limitations on rape. I don't think there should be any statute of limitations on rape. For that, maybe assault, like a punch in the face, statute of limitations, whatever that is, I mean, I'll punch you in the face. We're both 20 years old. You shouldn't be able to come back when I'm 50, when we're 50. So yeah,
Hey,
you do punch me in the
after you hit the
face.
lottery when you're 65 and be
Yeah,
like back
right.
in grade school, come punch me in the face.
So it what New York did, and that's why I like Puffy stuff coming out, like the Weinsteins, the what's this cat's name? I just had him, the mayor of New York. He's got a couple of people saying that he did something. It's because during the Me Too movement, what happened was people, I mean, they knew it, but now they acknowledge the fact that a lot of powerful, wealthy people were doing things and getting away with it. And basically, people were afraid to come out. The victims were afraid to come out because they get smeared, they had the lawyers to suppress these things. They had the power to suppress these things. So New York created a statute, and I think it ends this year. At
Right,
the end,
right.
is it the end of December? I think it ends this year. I don't know if it's at the end of this month or sometime in December, where basically you can bring claims for sexual assault, rape, things like that. But it's civil. It's not criminal, so it's
Criminal,
civil,
right.
right? But of course, if you're the mayor of New York and somebody say this dude raped me or sexual assault me in 1996, that kind of messes up your political career after that. I mean, he's not well liked anyway because he's a fraud to begin with. But but and then Puffy gets people coming out, and you have that's what what's her why is her why is her name escaping me? I have Sierra's name in my head, but that's Cassie. That's why
Cassie was talking about
Cassie,
the victim.
that's why Cassie came out with it. And hey, the abuse, the things that she went through, if it's even half true, he got off light with 30 million.
I know. I mean, he definitely can afford it.
Like rumors of him
Nope.
forcing her to have like gangbangs and all that other stuff. Like it's horrible stuff. Beating her, it's just
Right,
horrible.
but the thing about it is like his security and bodyguards and like now everybody coming out speaking on what they saw.
Because they're not getting paid anymore.
And that's the thing, I'm torn because they should be held accountable as well, and to a degree. And I don't feel like if you rape somebody, that type of crime or whatever that's been alleged that what's his name? Mr. Buddy Love.
Brother Love, Brother Love.
What's his name? I know him as Puffy. You know what I'm saying? We came up, it was Puffy. But I don't think it should be no statute of limitations on stuff like that. Because you never know when that victim or alleged victim is ready
To speak.
to
It's a
speak. You don't know
trauma.
all that
It's
trauma. Exactly.
a trauma.
Exactly.
It's a trauma. And people say, oh, why didn't you say something right away? Yeah, it's easy to say that when you're not in that situation. When you're not a young recording artist whose very life of survival and money and eating depends on the person who has been abusing you. So you come out because she wasn't going to get 30 million if she came out with this 15 years ago. She wasn't going to get 30 million. She was just going to get dragged through the press in the mud, and they would have changed every angle and all this other stuff, took his side and whatever. And she would have ended up with like $300,000, right? So it's hard to say, oh, well, I come out and do this and do that. Like, you can't put yourself in somebody else's trauma, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
For the most part, like you said, you can't, unless you walked in their shoes, like we won't know. And then just the type of abuse, like made her use drugs, get addicted to drugs,
right?
Have sex with these dudes. And then when she's that young, you know, you definitely influential.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not 40 years old when somebody's trying to coax you in or talk. You know, you don't live life. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You got some wisdom and some knowledge behind you. But yeah, like as far as them statute of limitations, man, some of them, hey, it should be like, hey, so then if that's the case, then as far as criminal,
right,
or civil, it seems like the civil statute of limitations is longer,
right,
compared to criminal.
Yes, because it's easier to prove. I think criminal rape, if I'm not mistaken, can still be, there's no limitation. So rape is, there's no limitation. Murder, obviously, there's no statute of limitations.
Right.
But like I said, something like assault or punching somebody, fight, whatever, that's a limitation. Theft has a limitation, statute of limitations, all that. But with the civil, because the burden is less, it's easier to put that on, you know, longer. But I have issues with murder sometimes too. Sometimes the murder, a murder committed 40 years ago, and then all of a sudden they get to trial and the eyewitness remembers everything detail by detail. It's kind of ridiculous because, you know, I can't remember nothing from 40 years ago.
Right.
I mean, certain things, but I don't remember in
certain
grand
things,
detail,
yeah,
like, in grand detail like that. You know, they're being coached. They're being fed these details.
Of course, of course.
And it, to me, is kind of a, that's coming from a defense attorney's perspective, of course. So y'all don't be offended by what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a little, think about, Corey, do you know where you were in 1988 on November 29th at 5 p.m.?
1988, November 29th.
Tell me exact, walk me through that exact day of what you did.
Probably.
No, ain't no problem. Ain't no problem. Walk me
I gotta
through
what know, I got to know what date that fell on. Was it a weekend or was it a weekday?
Let me look it up now.
And I tell you exactly what I did at 5 p.m. 1980. Was it a weekend or a weekday? Was it a Friday night? Was it Thursday night? Sunday night?
You fool.
I
what
tell
day
you.
Of the week was it? I'll tell you right now.
Oh, you said November 29th.
It was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday, November 20th. Oh, okay. So you know what? We got knocked off the playoffs at Tech because we were juniors in high school. So we were no longer playing football.
Right.
I can't be specific.
Exactly. But
I
the
can
point
tell you,
but
I
the,
can
no.
tell you a couple things I was probably doing.
No, ain't no problem.
I was probably hanging with y'all.
You were probably with me. You were probably more than likely with me, but that's the point. The point is you cannot tell me exactly what you did.
If there was something traumatic, if there was something, if I witnessed somebody pull out a gun and shoot somebody,
right,
you gonna remember enough of that.
Right.
An average day in a life.
But this is what I'm telling you. If one of our friends is on trial, right? And we know he was probably with us that day, but we can't exactly tell you exactly what we were doing. We can't give you a timeline on that.
Well,
day.
I guess if you come back 40 years later, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But he can get convicted because we can't remember exactly what the hell we were doing that day.
But were we with him though?
We don't know. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. People get convicted because they don't remember something that happened 40 years ago, or all of a sudden, even if they didn't see the murder, they say, I remember seeing him at the Quickie Mart, you know, where the robbery happened. But how are you going to remember seeing him earlier that day at the Quickie Mart if it wasn't a special day for you because you didn't even witness the murder?
Saying.
You see, you
I
didn't
see.
Even witness murder. You
okay.
might have went home. And so to you,
okay.
That's just an everyday.
Yeah,
so
I can see if we witnessed the crime.
Right.
You're going to relive that and play that
right.
over
right.
and over and over again.
Right. But if you just
happen. If you just happen to run into the bank
right.
and come out the bank and you see somebody standing in the corner,
right.
what's up, man? You just keep on going. I
You ain't
understand
gonna
from that
remember it.
standpoint.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like you, but the prosecutor feeds it in your head. He was there, the guy you saw, that was him, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, you get on stand like you remember this clear as day. Come on, man, get out of here. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about that. That's
You
what I'm
know
just
what?
saying. Huh?
Now I'm gonna find out what we were, what we did.
What we
And
did in 1988.
because we both were, what, 16?
Yeah. Lord knows. I don't even want to
Yeah,
know. At this point,
I
I don't
can.
even want to know what we were doing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go skip by that then.
All right. So yeah, back to Diddy. No, but I mean, it comes out. It is, he's gonna get his reckons. He already had to resign from a couple of boards from media companies
Right.
and things like that. You know, I don't know how much involved in the vodka he still is, was that Grey Goose. Like all these things are gonna, he's gonna have to recuse himself from all these boards that he's the head of.
So, with that being said, on the flip side,
Right.
what's the guy's name who was accused of beating his girlfriend, the Marvel character, the Marvel actor?
Oh, Johnny Majors.
Right. Come to find out, it wasn't true.
Right.
She lied,
Right.
or she initiated or started it. What's the ramifications for people like that who lie?
So I think he may be suing her. I think he's suing her. And I think the police ended up charging her with basically filing a false report, things like that. So she's going through that turmoil of
Okay,
filing a
because think
false report.
about the impact it had on his career.
Well, that's the point. They with vigor, put out all these articles on him, dragging his name through the shit. Then when it comes out that, hey, it really didn't happen that way. Ain't too many articles apologizing or pumping his character back up. But you know what that reminds me of? With the same way y'all put my name through there, make sure you print the
Put it
apology.
exactly.
Michael Irvin. Remember Michael Irvin?
Exactly. And you know what? All that was swept under the rug.
Yep.
And this is a good transition to our next topic about the media and how they spin things.
Yep.
And they're not held accountable.
Exactly.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Michael Irvin is probably my most favorite ex-Cowboy.
Okay.
I love the you know, I'm a receiver just by nature, just
The
growing up.
playmaker.
You know what I'm saying? And though Michael doesn't have a squeaky clean pass, none of us
Right.
do for the most part. And the media drags him through the mud to a point.
Right.
Because it was not enough information. All this information was being withheld. And he like, hey, bring this information out. And like you said, he settled out of court, got a lot of money. I think he
Yeah.
got like 25 million.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a
But
lot.
you didn't hear about too much of that, man.
No public apology.
No public apology. To me, we only, do you know who made these accusations? Do you know her name?
I don't know her name.
Was it ever
Well,
provided?
I don't think so because she was seen as a victim at the time. But once you're not a victim anymore, once you find it, they got to put you in, you're a criminal, right? You, because you filed a false report. Who was it, Hilton? Who was the hotel?
I don't know if the Marriott or the Hilton's one of them big ones though.
Yeah. But I know he was looking for 100 million at first, and then they settled
Yeah,
out for
so
20,
this
20,
time
20.
you go high.
You go high so you can get that 25 million. Yeah. All right,
They say, you know what, we give 25. Okay, I guess I'll take 25.
I guess I'll
But
take it.
the way the media can spin things, and if you watch enough of it, it can definitely taint your mind. And to me, the media is not held accountable when they give out false information. You rarely see them come back. I guess they, you know, a lot of them try to report first without
Right,
having all the
without checking
facts.
the facts. But you know why? Because negativity sells, brother.
Of course, of
Watching
course.
somebody fall, somebody like Michael Irvin fall, is more interesting or brings more views and clicks and station views than saying Michael Irvin is a good person, that, you know, this is what happened to him, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's boring. Promoting the good is boring. It's all about views and clicks. We watch, we like to see, especially people of fame. We like to see them fall to the bottom, and you know whether it's true or not,
Right.
quickly, and Jason Kidd. I sent that out to the group. Jason Kidd was talking about Kyrie and Luka and how they're, I think, one of the top duos.
They're
He
gelling
said top.
now.
He said top, but I think they're second, like in the fourth quarter. I think it's Dame and Giannis that are top duo,
Giannis,
and like effectiveness in the fourth quarter. But being two ain't, out of 30 ain't bad, right? Being two is good. And he's talked about how all last year when they were learning to play with each other and it wasn't going right, how negative everything was. And even now, this year, even though it's going good, the media there still harps back on how bad it
on
was last
last
year.
year.
Right. And so his point is harp on the good and what's going good now. You see it's going good now. Report that. Don't be afraid. Like he said, don't be afraid to report the good. People like reading about good or hearing about good too. Don't make it all negative. And that's true. Turn on the nightly news. Death in the neighborhood, shooting, robbery,
It's
this, that.
man.
Where's all the good stuff about the good people helping the community? How come we never put that out there? Because all that bad stuff generates views and clicks. Because the human mind, we've been, well, America, I'm not even gonna say human mind. In America, we've been conditioned to like the negative, to go towards the negative. Go towards the light, carry in the light, the light. We're going away from the light. We're going to the darkness. And that's what America does. That's what we like to do.
Now, like too about the Jason Kidd, just his demeanor and his tone, it was even kill. Like, you ain't gonna shake me, but I'm gonna check you right now in a professional manner.
He said, "You asked the fucking question. I'll give you the fucking
So
answer."
yeah, it's just like if you get too much down the rabbit hole of the media, man, it will just send you, making you think that there's no good in this world. There's no good in this country. There's no good in your city, your community. And there's a lot of good, man. But yeah, like you said, negativity sells.
But mo
It
most
does.
most let me give everybody a clue in the inside. Most people in this world are good people. Most people in this country are good people. Most people in the state you live in are good people. Most people in even the roughest neighborhoods are good people. It's just that those few who are bad apples, it's accentuated. It's
That,
always the worst who are the loudest. That's
of
the
course,
problem.
yeah. It's that 5% that'll mess it up.
For
Like, you
everybody.
can go to a concert, you can be at a club with 200, 300 people, everybody dancing, having a good time. All it takes is one person, maybe two people, to jack that all up, man. Uh-oh. What was going on? Hey man,
The
what you
dude,
chewing, man? What you chewing, JT?
we're gonna start making bets from now on, though.
You hear us, man?
Now I can hear you.
We just talked about you on live on this broadcast that was gonna come here eating.
I was just eating some chips, man. Hey, pass me some Doritos, man. Want some of these Doritos?
Don't be giving Doritos no shout out. They ain't get no money. They ain't giving us no advertising money.
That's
Put
well, if that's the
that
case, man, let me hide this Adidas sign and this Cowboy sign in.
bag down. No, he can't hide
Doritos.
it. Oh, everybody got their little team on. Okay, all right,
Right.
where
Are you
we
gonna go
at?
ahead and catch JT up?
So
Welcome,
basically,
man.
what we're
Welcome.
talking about is how the media likes to accentuate negative things. It's always reporting on the negative. We talked about Michael
Oh,
Irvin.
yeah.
We talked about, I guess, the example of the Jason Kidd thing that I sent out earlier, and just how we talked about Johnny Majors and how basically when something bad happens, it's tenfold. But then when they find out, wait, it didn't happen that way, you don't really hear about it, right? They don't
Oh,
come
there ain't
back
no
and they
apologies.
don't apologize very loudly
There
when
ain't
they
no
first,
apologies.
right?
Well,
Did you?
another thing that I heard on the radio this evening, Jordan Love made a comment.
Oh, about T Taylor Swift or T
Yeah, I
yeah.
really don't listen to that much Taylor Swift music.
Yeah.
Let's see how this blows up.
Oh no, it's already blowing up on Packers Twitter. It's already blowing up.
Exactly.
And it's like, this man is 24 years old and black. He ain't listening to that shit.
Oh, he said, right? They asked, did he listen to Taylor Swift?
They asked him about what's your favorite Taylor Swift, or whatever. He goes, or is she going to come to Green Bay and all that? And he was like, I don't really listen to Taylor Swift too much. And he said something, and he laughed. He said, no, I don't really listen to Taylor Swift.
He don't really listen to her, or he don't listen to her at all?
You know, you're a black man. You know black speak. If somebody say you want to do this, no, I don't really want to do that too much. No, I don't really want to do that too much. Yeah.
I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think about a week ago, they was interviewing Dak. Mm-hmm. And they were asking him what's in his headphones when he's warming up or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, I listen to a little bit of everything. I listen to this. So he named some artists, and he named some rap artists, whatever. And then they named a name of a CD or an album. And he said, no. And I think it was a Taylor Swift album. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he said, no. He said, no offense, though, but that's not me. So yeah,
they think because they like Taylor Swift. No, ain't nobody listening to that shit.
Man, her mouth is always open, man. Who, every Taylor time, Swift? Whatever game you watch with Kansas City.
Is that a bad thing?
Watch yourself now.
I'm just saying that when they have Pantour in the suite, she's always got her mouth open. Like, why? Like, you know, I'm not trying to get raunchy with this. Y'all get y'all heads out the gutter, man.
Watch
y'all,
yourself.
Hey, y'all early 70s babies.
Don't be getting no Swifties. I ain't got the energy to be fighting off Swifties on the internet, brother.
I got a question for y'all, because that brings up a good thought. How many times have y'all been asked something that just because of the crowd you're with at the time, which may not look like us, hey, have you heard this? Do you like this? Have you listened to this? Have you ever had a situation, maybe with coworkers or something, where that question came up and you were like,
"Nah, not since I left Wisconsin, brother. Maybe in law school, but ever since then, you know."
Oh well, I know when I worked in a predominantly white facility, I got exposed to a lot of that music. Mm. Man, give that man some Doritos, man.
So I listen to all kinds of music, but I ain't listening to Taylor Swift. Here's the thing, and I'm about to get in trouble with two groups right now. I don't even listen to Beyonce, though. I don't even like her music. There we go. Come on, Beehive. Come at me, Beehive.
Bro, you ain't never shake it off. Oh, haters go to hate.
My wife is going to that movie that comes out sometime in December next week. I ain't going. She's taking my daughter. I ain't going.
I ain't gonna lie. That remix of
Drunken Love?
Soldier with T.I. and Lil Wayne.
Oh, back then, yeah, I listened to that. That wasn't Beyonce, that was Destiny's Child.
Though. Well, I'm just saying, though, that remix with them, you bumped, man, that shit was hitting, dog.
No, Lil Wayne and T.I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to that the other day. But I'm saying Beyonce stuff now, and I know she's a great artist, and I appreciate it, but it don't call me. I ain't putting on Beyonce. It's not in my rotation. You know, right. The Beyonce songs I got in my rotation is the album she got with Jay-Z.
So here, like Beyonce and Taylor Swift, they got catchy music, but I don't think either one is an elite singer.
Oh no, they don't have the vocals.
They're not elite singers, but they have catchy music. They have music that's gonna hit it on the charts because it's crossover beats, crossover lyrics.
Right. Right.
And you got the people that want to be cross-cultured and know the culture, so to speak. They're going to listen to that music, and they're going to buy it. And that's the difference then, too. Unfortunately, a lot of our people don't buy our artist music.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
And that's where those ratings get a little skewed.
Mr. Bootleg.
You know, a lot of them listening to it. But they just ain't buying it.
It's the bootleg.
I'm guilty of that. Well, nowadays,
you can't bootleg like nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays.
I mean, like back in the day.
You go online, man, you go online and just pull it up. Whatever music and just listen to it that way.
You can go on YouTube when you're drinking and just send out a bunch of things to your friends.
What are you talking about?
wait.
Premium.
Hey, JT's favorite line is, Just the last one.
Just the last one. There's seven more come.
Hey, the music be hitting though.
Hey, but they be bangers though.
Yeah.
Hey, that's why the other day he sent out that first one. I was like, uh oh. Uh oh.
I said, you know it. You know.
Oh, speaking.
You know what's about to come, bro.
Yep.
You know what's about to come.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, I didn't know really who a Taylor Swift was until this man is knocked out, man. Well, he's chilling. I didn't know who a Taylor Swift was until Kanye West. What award show was that?
Oh, yeah, but she was only like 19. She was young back then, though. She was really young back then.
I know, but he was saying Beyonce should have won.
Right.
And I thought, I said, man, that's kind of rude, man. That was kind of, you know. Yeah.
That was the first peek into Kanye's insanity right there.
But here's the thing again. Why she won is because her people bought the stuff. And Beyonce's people bootleg the stuff back then. So therefore, based on the record sales, that's why Taylor got over Beyonce. That's all that is. If we would have went out and bought Beyonce stuff, she would have sold more than Taylor did that year.
Right.
And it wouldn't even be an issue. But we went to go get some gas. The Hustle Man was out there. Hey, 3 for 10, 3 for 10.
CDs.
I got that Beyonce.
And then you know what? From there, we went on and be like, hey, let me get a copy, man. Make me a copy.
Right.
Yeah, you make a copy for the bootleg. A bootleg of bootleg. We're
gonna bootleg the bootleg. You burn them.
I remember when I used to have a computer that burnt the CDs.
Man, I still got some. I still got a Philips changer that recorded the music. You know what I'm saying? That bootleg. Yeah, the computer. Yeah. It was slower. It was easier on the computer when the computer came out.
Yeah.
Doing it. But I was. I ain't gonna lie. I got a plethora of bootleg CDs and DVDs or whatever, man. Plethora.
One of my in-laws, he's a computer dude. He used to burn the stuff too. So we had me get this one foreign DVD player because it played the burn CDs.
I
got one of those. And then you had a plug that came in. You had to have an adapter so it fit a US plug because it was, you know, built over in the UK or something like that. Order one of those. Man, it worked for everything.
This man was going through everything just for a burnt CD.
For burnt CD and DVD.
You probably spent more money. More money on the bootleg equipment than if you
the DVD player was only like $50-$60.
Right.
But it came with like three different outlets depending on what country you live in. So you had three different plugs you could put into depending on where you at, because the plugs in Europe is different than the plugs here.
Yeah, they three prong is way different, man.
Yep.
Y'all know what I did one time though.
I ordered something that had all the three different adapters. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, three different adapters.
Y'all want to know what I did one time? Columbia House, remember they just send those CDs?
Oh, yeah, 10 CDs.
So I did that, but they keep sending them unless you cancel it, and you had to go through all the stuff to cancel it. So basically, I got it, and they kept sending. I did it for like a year, and they're sending me these notices and all that. Man, I wrote them this letter, and it's like, wrote also the credit bureaus and all that. I said, someone else. Because at the time, I was living in a four-quad apartment in New York. I said, someone else used my name and my address. Because they didn't verify who you really were. They just used name and address and all that.
Yeah.
And I said, I have not seen one CD. I said, I don't even have a CD player. Why would I, you know, they wiped that shit off. I kept all of their CDs, bro.
Hey, man, has the statute of limitations run out on that?
The statute of limitations is off on that joint. It's up.
It was Columbia House. What was the other one?
I don't even think they exist anymore, Columbia House.
Yeah, I don't even
know. No, they don't. It was Columbia House, but it's another one, too.
Yeah, I can't remember what the other one.
Yeah. But y'all remember Music Land and Camelot Music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All that shit.
No doubt, man. Mainstream. So
there you go. Taylor Swift.
But hey, speaking of going back to Taylor Swift, if she's gonna be in Green Bay,
right,
and Travis Kelce goes off, you know they're gonna be panning to her every 5 seconds.
Right.
Watch her mouth be open all the damn time.
The whole time. But her mouth gonna be closed because Jonathan Owens, husband of Simone Biles, the GOAT. It's gonna be sticky. Husband of the goat.
All right.
So while we talk about Kansas City, let me ask y'all a question about Kansas City. I just want, and it kind of goes into our last two conversations, the media, and it goes into Taylor Swift and all this other stuff. Did y'all see the Chiefs game last week where the little boy is walking around with a headdress? With
blackface?
Right. So he had blackface. He had a blackface and a headdress. And one of the writers from Deadspin, you know, said this is racist. Why would you do that? Whatever. So it turns out that the boy, it wasn't blackface like black people. Half the face was black. The other half was red. So the people on the right want this guy fired because he called out this kid for racism. And they're saying, see, this wasn't blackface. He had half his face black and half his face red. So they're saying, no, the blackface wasn't racist. Not realizing that the little boy wearing a headdress and painting his face like he's Native American when he's white, that's racist. So it was racist. Period. Instead of two forms of racism, he only had one. He only had one, people. That's what they're saying. No, it wasn't two forms of racism. It was only one. Fire this writer for talking about this. No.
His I didn't even see that one.
Better. Yeah.
Dude, that was like two to three forms of racism.
It bothers me about the Chiefs fans and that walk. These are not mascots. These are people. This is not dressing like a dog. It's not dressing like a golden eagle. It's not dressing like a 49er. This is, you're dressing like a human being and you're making them just toys, basically. And you think that's cool? Who allowed their son? Well, I know probably which way they vote, that you allow your son to do that. So what I'm asking you people who let their son go to Kansas City Chiefs game like that, they were in Missouri. There's reservations in Missouri and Oklahoma, Colorado. Take that boy dressed like that into one of those reservations. Let's see what happens there.
And then ask them their stance on immigration.
Did they
don't want immigrants, but my son can dress as an immigrant.
No, I didn't even hear about this story, man.
Native Americans ain't immigrants, brother. We the immigrants. What you talking about?
Exactly. They're not. But we know the mentality of that group. They think everyone that don't look like them is an immigrant, although they are the original illegal immigrants in this country.
There you go. So what say you? You didn't see it, Corey. You got anything to say about that one?
No, you know what? I didn't see the story. When it comes to dressing up, man, on certain things, I'm a little torn.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like if you meant it to be offensive, were you making fun of a demographic or a certain people, you out of order, man. You out of order.
But Corey, that's not a sign of respect.
They're not gonna say that he was making fun or mocking them.
That's not a sign of respect.
They're just trying to
I didn't say it was a sign of respect. I'm definitely not saying it's a sign of respect. Yeah, man. I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and follow up on that story. I just want to see it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can see if you was paying homage.
But if that's
so, I guess what if? Let me think about like.
So if that's the case,
what if you in a talent show,
right? If you paying homage to your team and the Chiefs and everything else. Why is the color, the tone so dark?
Chiefs ain't got no black.
This ain't Venezuela, dude. This ain't South America. So you know they ain't that dark. Now we know Jesus was darker than the pictures that we see, right? So we know in Kansas City ain't that dark.
My point is this. How are you going to tell someone else what's offensive to them and their people? So if you've been told it's the reason why the Cleveland Indians are called the Guardians now, it's the reason why Washington Redskins are now called the Washington Commanders. It's the reason why the Marquette Warriors are now called the Marquette Golden Eagles, because it was deemed to be offensive to a certain segment of people, even though Marquette could have just changed the logo instead of the Warriors. But that's a different discussion.
But even Warriors is not offensive to me.
That's what I'm saying. Marquette could have changed it to a Spartan Warrior.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
but what I'm saying is
even
this.
Even the Chiefs a chief. Now, Redskin was offensive.
What I'm saying is, but you say it's not offensive, but they're using it as a mascot. So if they had the Washington Negroes, would you be okay with that? Because some people don't think the word Negro is offensive.
But my thing is, like,
the Zulu Warriors.
When I think about a chief, when I think about a Native American chief, I think about somebody who's up here at the highest,
right,
where people respect, where people look for guidance and leadership. When I think about a chief, he's the chief of our tribe or whatever. So that's why I look at it. You know, the Redskins, that was offensive. Like, just blatantly, in my opinion, you can compare that to Negroes. But when I think about a chief, I don't look at a chief, though they might have a mascot that's that's Native American, that's whatever. Because you remember back in the days when the Cowboys and the Redskins were playing, they had a
Cowboys and the Redskins. Yeah, they have Tom Landry with a cowboy hat walk in.
Or they'll have the cowboy mascot with a brother. Yeah. And the Redskins mascot with a brother. And then he'll be dressed up like a cowboy. Cowboy. And the other one will be dressed up like a Native American or an Indian.
Right.
So that was hell of an offensive. And then they were fighting each other. But as a kid, I didn't look at it that way.
So this is where I see the difference. I get what you're saying with the Chiefs. Let's look at Florida State Seminoles. That I get, because the Seminole tribe was in Florida.
And Trail of Tears.
Right. So you have the Florida State Seminoles. It's almost a homage to, but what's offensive about Florida State is when they would have a white boy on a horse in Native American paint and throw this arrow down. Remember they used to do that?
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
Right.
Was still offensive, and I don't like that both Florida State, the Atlanta Braves, and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Tomahawk shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're just murderers, we're scalping. Like savages and shit. So that's offensive to them, right? So that's what I'm saying. You can't, because it's not offensive to you, but it's about another segment of people, blow it off because it's not offensive to you. Like I said, if they had the Washington Negroes or the Milwaukee Zulu Warriors, and they had a white dude running around in black paint face doing a little spear with a shield, we'd be all up in arms in that shit.
No, I get that. I get that.
I get that part of it too, because you need to have the appropriate representation on the field for your mascot. But at the same time, I don't think, in a negative connotation, besides the Redskins, I don't think Warriors or Chiefs are negative. Mm. As far as a mascot,
I don't think so either.
You still got State Warriors,
right?
But what their mascot is just the city, right? Golden State,
right?
Oakland, the Bay Area,
right?
But
they don't have a Native American, and they've never had a Native American as a drawing or anything like that.
A warrior, and in the culture, the Native American culture, a warrior is a higher level, right?
Right.
A chief is a higher level. So I understand. At the time when the concept came up back in the 60s, I understand what they may have been going for, but just as society has changed, got more diverse, got more interracial, got more cultivated, and more history has come out than his story has come out, people have a new sense of pride within their culture. So when you, like you said, when you see a person of another culture trying to represent you on the big stage, you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You ain't part of our tribe. Why are you trying to make money off of us and pretend you something that you ain't? And that's where the Native Americans, who they're represented, never got any residuals or, anything from that. From them using them as that mascot. So you selling all this merchandise, right? Representing us, but what did the tribes get? What did the actual Seminoles get? What did the actual Chiefs get? What did the actual Warriors get?
Well, I know they got a casino down in Florida. They got, Seminoles got a casino.
And some of them got money.
And the casino people really had too much of an issue with the mascots because they was getting right. their money regardless, right?
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
you know what? In a lot of Native Americans, if you got enough of that Native American blood in you, you get a check.
Yep.
You get some money.
Yep.
If you prove that you got enough of Native American blood in you, which probably a good portion of us do, but maybe not to that extent where they want to, you know. I mean, that's the United States way of paying or trying to repair or paying reparations.
But they give reparations to everybody except the people who built this
Everybody
except the people who built this shit.
And then in addition to the Native Americans, like, you know how many cities, states, mainly cities that's named after Native Americans?
Yeah.
Look at all the Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Wayuwego, Oconomowoc, Nguanago, Milwaukee.
Yep.
People by the water. People by the water.
Speaking of kids, this has popped in my head. I just learned, so y'all know that Chris Paul, CP3, and that referee has had a
Scott Foster. Scott Foster.
Had a situation for years.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out what this is about. Y'all know what it's about?
He said something about his kid or something like that, right?
Yeah. They say after a game, Chris Paul's son at the time was a little kid, a youngster, and he must have been playing in a tunnel or something. So when the referees were exiting the tunnel in a car, he yelled out, "Get the uck out the way," some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul took offense to that, which I probably would as a father as well. Mm-hmm. Speaking, you don't have to speak to a kid like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely not your kid. You shouldn't even probably be speaking to your kid like that. So that's where that beef originated from. And Scott Foster fucks up the game when Chris Paul
coming back to Phoenix. Yeah.
Is on the court, man. And so that just made me think of, like, when we were talking about the kid that was dressed in black face and red face.
Since we're talking about the kid, let's get into the killing of Ayanna Jones.
And that, there you go, another good segue, man.
To walk us through, see, walk us through it.
All right, man. So Detroit, Michigan, there was
2010.
There was a warrant being served for, I don't even think the individual they were looking for. They were looking for a male. The warrant being served, they could have picked him up anywhere. It didn't have to be a raid of a home. So I believe the house was a duplex, but it was a one-door duplex where maybe the side door was used for upstairs. So the person we were looking for was upstairs.
Upstairs. Didn't live with them. Didn't live in the same house. They lived. They lived in the same building. Not in the same apartment.
So in the middle of the night, and that's when they do most of their raids, they bat around the door, and one officer went in first. And on the couch was a grandmother who looked like she was in her upper 50s, lower 60s, somewhere like that. It was a grandmother. And then on the couch sleep was a granddaughter who was seven, 9 years old.
She was She was
police shot her in the head.
Seven.
The police shot the 7-year-old in the head and killed her. The case has been going to court since 2000 and whenever, 10, 11, 12, but it's been mistrials and deadlocks or whatever. I think it happened twice. And the officer said that the grandmother lunged at him and the gun went off and killed the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The grandmother's on testifying that's not what happened. She's breaking down, very emotional, man. She lost her grandbaby. She's responsible for that grandbaby. You know what I'm saying? And this dude walks in the house and shoots her and then lies. And you can see the passion in her voice. She was like pleading, tell the truth. You didn't know, you know what happened. But in the middle of all this, while he took her granddaughter's life and he was just on the stands, he wasn't even... just no emotion, just nothing. You know what I'm saying? So in the middle of all of that, the grandmother still referred to him as Mr. Wow. Showing some respect for this motherfucking animal. And I've been pulled over by the police, man. I've been handcuffed. I've been in the police car. I've been downtown and whatever. But to me, we show these police officers too much freaking respect. So when you get pulled over your ticket, all of a sudden you say, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Even when they in the wrong, you still show it. I'm not saying disrespect them. But why do we have to, when I say we, not, you know, just in this country, even when the police is wrong, we still show them a level of respect with this mister and yes, sir, and no, sir, and stuff. That stuff, I ain't gonna lie, man, that gets under my skin so much, man. And especially when they in the wrong. So when this grandmother still showed this dude respect by calling him mister, that just, I ain't gonna lie, a part of me is like, ugh, like, why, this dude just killed your grandbaby, and he was found not guilty. He just killed your grandbaby, and you still showing him this level of respect, man. And that just, I ain't gonna lie, that just hit me differently, man. Hit me differently.
Conditioning, sir.
And people, that was in the South, though, right?
No, that was in Detroit.
No, Detroit.
Detroit?
So what I was saying to him, this lady's in her 60s. Which means her mother is probably in her 80s, which means her mother more than likely is from the South. And in the South, they were conditioned, yes, sir, no, sir, to the police, to be subservient to the police, because if you weren't, they were gonna beat your head in, right? So that's a learned behavior. And so that, you know, she's probably taught as a little girl. You look at a policeman and you say, yes, sir, no, sir, even if he's wrong. Yes, sir, no, sir. And so that comes out. To learn behavior.
And we're taught that too initially, just to try to get home alive.
I can understand. I can understand you want to get home alive.
Respect, an initial confrontation, we got to show that respect just so we can try to get home
alive. Oh, no, I ain't never called a policeman yes, sir, no, sir. Sorry.
I'm not saying yes, sir, no. I'm going to treat you with respect. I might even call you Officer Hernandez.
I might say officer. Yeah, I might say officer.
And Officer Hernandez is the one that had a gun to my head. I ain't gonna never forget that shit.
That's
traumatizing.
That's the one from that night?
Yeah, Officer Hernandez. That's the most I'm gonna go. I'm gonna show you, like, if I get pulled over, I've been pulled over many a time, man. Knock on wood, it's been a while. But I ain't, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever. I'm just going to treat you, I'm going to be cordial with you.
So,
I'm not going to be belligerent when you come over. Why the fuck you pull me? I ain't going to do none of that. They always ask you where you're going and where you're coming from. Man, that ain't even damn important, man. So, that ain't got shit to do with nothing. What's going on?
Let's go back 30 years. And our biggest thing was like Rodney King, right? And we had some other things going on, right? So 30 years ago, we may have responded differently. But nowadays, if we were still young in our 20s, how would we respond seeing that all this cop shit going on and how cats is disappearing, getting shot up, this and that? Do you think today, being 20-something, you would have responded the same way you did 30 years ago at 20-something.
I'm not calling them yes, sir, or no, sir. I'm not doing that.
So here's the thing, E. The same shit that's happening now was happening when we were 20-something years old.
It was.
Ain't no difference. Ain't no difference in the climate, brother.
It was. But just with the publicity of it all, and now that we do have...
That's the only thing you just know of it more because of cell phone. But in the same amount of volume and probably less now than it was back then.
Oh, shit is before happening. That shit was just write it off. It was write it off back then.
Yeah. You know, same way. I'm gonna address you the same way.
I'm gonna address you the same way. Like I said, I'm not gonna come to you with an attitude. If you pull me over, we have some kind of whatever. Do you know why I pulled you over? No, I don't. I'm not going to say, no, sir, I don't. I'm just going to be like, no, I don't. Where are you going? I want to say, what difference does it make?
Yeah,
like that's irrelevant. But of course, I don't want a ticket.
Right.
I'm going home. I'm going to my mom's house. I'm going to the store.
Man,
I'm not gonna say I'm going to the store, sir.
My father was in the military and never forced us to say sir, yes sir, no sir, whatever it was. It was dad, yes. Mm-hmm. So if I ain't gonna say it to my father, I sure as fuck ain't saying it to nobody else. Just tell you that right now.
I get your point, JT. We do want to make it home.
Right.
But to me,
you can still make it home, but I'll call them sir.
if they want to do something to you,
I'm bringing another angle to it. So is it easier to say sir, ma'am, than officer when you buzz? Officer, I just say sir.
All right, man. a two-syllable word or three-syllable word is way more difficult than a one-syllable.
Well, if you buzz, they gonna know anyway. It don't matter. So you might.
Sir, yes, sir. You been drinking? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just suffer,
but yes, sir.
It pained me to see this grandmother. And when y'all get a chance after this, look at it, man. You're gonna feel her pain.
Right.
And it was a pain that she lost her grandbaby.
Yeah.
And the pain that this dude is about to walk and he's lying. You know what I'm saying? He's lying about what took place. Why is the grandmother gonna jump up and try to grab at your gun? Think about that.
But they lie. This is what they, brother, yeah. I told you, I sat in a courtroom where one officer came in, told a story, and then the other one came right behind him and completely lied. I knew he was lying. The prosecutor knew he was lying. The judge knew he was lying. It's just what they lie. And they still got the evidence in because that's what they do. Because even though the policeman was lying, that he entered the house, he basically admitted through his lying, he didn't admit it out there, but through his lying, everybody could tell he entered into a house illegally. And they kept the evidence. But this is what they do. They've done it since the beginning of time. This is what they do.
And that's when, like, the prosecutors typically work with the police department.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be some type of independent prosecutor or something? Because most time when you try on these police officers, you've probably worked with this police officer, the prosecutor before. So you're going to do a shit ass job in prosecution to try to get them off. You know, so that, how does that process? I mean, what could be done, Cope, in that situation? Shouldn't they not have Chisholm and his team appear prosecute the police when they work with the police officers
There are some cities within the last 4 or 5 years that have created independent prosecutor groups, independent from the prosecutor's office, that strictly prosecute police officers and officials. So they basically stay separate from there. So that relationship isn't there. So they do have that. They have independent. I think it's Minnesota has a civilian committee. It looks and investigates these things and recommends prosecution and things like that. I think it's Minnesota.
George Floyd, I think they did do that.
Yeah. And so you have these things now. You didn't have them before, but you have them now because now they see, wait, this guy ain't going to go all out prosecuting this person. They don't work together.
Right.
You know, for so much.
It's just like that case up here with the Joe Acevedo.
Yeah. And
Maglioti.
Yeah.
Acevedo, the officer Maglioti got off. Even though he choked dog to death, the officer comes in. When the officer is called, the officers come in, this dude's arm is still around his neck. And the officer had to say, hey, man, let him go. Well, hey, I didn't know that he was dying. I thought he was okay. Anybody, especially an officer, would know if you put somebody in the chokehold for a significant period of time, what's going to happen. So that's why, like, because the jury was deadlocked, came back, they were deadlocked. It was right before the weekend What weekend? What holiday was that, man? Was it Labor Day, AJT, or was it?
It was Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend that he had the party at his house.
No, okay, no, I'm saying when the trial was going on, because the jury was wanting to go home. Oh, this
is recently, dude.
Yeah, so it wasn't Halloween.
It wasn't Thanksgiving. It was probably just like late. No, it wasn't as far back as, was it Labor Day?
It was earlier this month. Damn, but I know the jury wanted to go home for a reason. Like, I don't.
Hispanic Heritage Month or something?
I'm not quite sure. But, so it was on a Friday. They didn't want to get sequestered or whatever. They were deadlocked. The judge said, go back in there and deliberate some more. And they came back. Somebody flipped. They came back dual innocent or not guilty.
They didn't have enough to have a unanimous decision, right?
Right. So if I was on that jury trial, and in my heart of hearts, I felt that this motherfucker was wrong, I'm just going to be like, I ain't changing my fucking vote.
Nope.
I'm not changing. No. I'm not. We just gonna have to sit here this weekend. We're gonna have to get put up in the hole. Whatever the hell is going on, I'm not changing my shit.
Yep.
And within an hour, somebody changed. An hour.
Because they want to go home.
But then think about that though. Think about just because you wanted to go home, you letting this killer be able to kill again
on the streets. Them or their family haven't faced adversity or have been touched by violent crimes.
By police.
Or they're more willing to, like, oh, yeah, well, whatever. Maybe he.
No.
I watch Fox 6 News, so I know Acevedo sounds a little suspect to me. I don't know. So they're going to go with that instinct. They're not going to go with the facts. Especially
I think, too,
because why do I want to be held up about whether a minority got killed illegally or not? I want to get home. I got to roast an oven.
No, man. That just don't fly to me. And then it's harder to kill.
I would like to know the age and possibly race of the person that flipped.
It's America.
That would say a lot.
It's America. What are y'all surprised about?
I'm not surprised. I'm just saying, it's all bullshit. When it boils down to it, man.
It is, man.
It's just, like, I wasn't surprised, though. After we seen Rodney King get beat like that on camera, and them dudes walked, you know what I'm saying? And how many things has happened since then?
Brianna. And then the DA that let the cops off thought he could run for office and win. For real, bro?
Yeah.
For real? After you let them killers walk, you thought you was going to win a fucking office seat. Man, get the fuck up out of here.
And they put him up there. They thought black people was going to vote for him. Man, ain't nobody going to vote for you.
I think it's just so hard for people to, even in this day and age, when it's being filmed and televised, to convict an officer or something.
That's the thing. Because they've been trained to think that, oh, these police officers do right, and they swear an oath and they tell the truth. No, these dudes dirty as,
man.
Believe you me, I know these things. These dudes are dirty.
If doctors fuck up, you know cops is gonna fuck up. Doctors,
and by the way, in my story earlier, the cop who actually told the truth turned out to be a Trump supporter later on in life. Y'all can figure out who it is.
But at least he told the truth, though.
He told the truth then, yeah. He told the truth.
But then you said the other dude walks in like just total
and just completely lied. It was almost comical. Even the judge's face was like, are you gonna keep going with this? Like, like the first guy ran past and he said the door was closed, so he knew nobody that they were chasing, the guys that they were chasing, because they started chasing two guys, and the two guys were Latin Kings, and so they cut through a yard. And he says, you know, as I'm running through the yard, I see the door to the house is closed with a bolt lock on it. So it had the thing closed, but the lock was open, but it was on there, you know, so you can't really open it.
Yeah.
You have to take the lock off the loop to open the door. And he said, I ran past and, you know, it was that lock was on there. So I know they weren't in there because can't nobody do it and put the lock on from the other side.
Back on it, yeah.
So he said, I kept running. So his partner comes on and says he ran through the yard and the door was open. It was swinging open. So he thought they went in there. So he went downstairs, which it was a known house that the Latin King stayed in. So he went downstairs and they found scales and cocaine and things like that. So the guys got arrested for that, right? The guy I was representing got arrested for the possession. But the point of all this is your partner just said the door wasn't open. And at the time, so they started off in the department at the same time. And at the time of this hearing, the guy who told the truth was a detective. The other guy was still a patrol officer. So you already know who's better than who and who's going to really, you know, tell the truth on that one. So that's what I'm saying. But that detective eventually ended up becoming a Trump supporter. He ended up becoming chief of police, actually. So, hey, y'all, you figure out. You put two and two together and figure out.
Did he happen to sue the city?
Huh? He sued did the he city? Hey, we actually, he was actually same football. We played for the same high school, right? There we go.
But, yeah, man.
So besides that Florida case with Trump, that's the same look all the judges have in the other court cases.
Yeah.
When Trump's defended lawyers talking, they're like
I can't
believe this is happening. Yeah.
And they gotta be biased, but you gotta be unbiased.
Yeah, you gotta sit there and listen. It's like, oh my God.
Like that one lawyer a couple weeks ago was like, dude, if y'all don't stop.
Yeah.
If y'all don't stop.
Man. But yeah, right. that's
it. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff gotta change, man. And I don't see anything changing, man.
Yeah,
I really don't.
That note, we'll have better times. That's it. We're gonna wrap it up. This was a long
one. Yeah, this is an extended version, man.
Okay, and before we get off, I just want to say this: there's a straight up sports show one day, because I told you they were gonna win one of the two. See, either Detroit or Kansas City. I said they were gonna pull out one or two, and you say they can't beat Detroit. They ain't gonna be.
Wait! Why you gotta make me sound like that, man?
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, hey, Detroit is Detroit.
Put a little more bass in your voice when you
first. Yeah, do me put bass in your voice.
Hey, Detroit is Detroit.
But I told you. Now I ain't gonna go out on a limb. I gotta see if the running backs are playing, because I think AJ Dillon's hurt now too. So now Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon are gone. But we'll see. I told you Kansas City's weakness, and I told you
first and foremost, we wasn't talking about sports on that level, right?
I just had to bring my prognostication up. Go Cowboys this week.
So,
of course.
We them boys this week.
Hey, I think the Packers going to make the playoffs, man.
I think they are too. Huh?
Who y'all got between San Fran and Philly this week?
Oh.
I'm going for San Fran.
Well, you have to go for San Fran. You just have to go for
San Fran. We know you're biased, but you know, just in reality.
I'll put it like this, man.
Where's it at?
It's in Philly. Yeah.
I think Philly.
I'm going to put it like this. Them Philadelphia Eagles, they're good. They're very good. They can turn it on when they need to. But them motherfuckers are lucky as hell, too, man.
So, but I'm going to go
with San Fran this week.
Here's what I'm looking at.
I thought we was about to go.
That's all right. I'm running the show. Here's what I'm looking at. You can't go home unless you call me sir.
Hold on. Have you ever seen the wins? This is our show.
Now the color is gold.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. So, here's what I'm looking at. It's going to be tough. It's elite teams on both sides. The offenses ain't going to go the way either team wants them to go. So here's my evaluation.
Yeah.
When it's off schedule and when things are tough, we know what Jalen Hurts can do. When it's off schedule and things are tough, you've seen Brock Purdy and you've seen them lose three in a row when things are off schedule and things are tough. So, and that's why I don't think San Francisco can win the Super Bowl, because when it comes down to it, comes a time where things are tough. And your quarterback where you're going to have one or two quarters where it's just tough. And your quarterback got to be able to pull out of it. And Brock Purdy ain't that kind of quarterback, bro.
But you know what, man? Right now, he's not battle tested per se.
Mm.
The motherfucker having a good year, man.
He is. That's okay.
He's up in the upper echelon.
That's okay.
Statistically. But like I had text, I said, that motherfucker Jalen Hurts is just so calm. Like, nothing shakes that dude, man.
I watch quarterbacks, and y'all gonna laugh at me when I watch Jalen Hurts interview, or even during a game, and I watch his demeanor, never too high, never too low, calm.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes shoes on that thing. Never too high, never too
I
low.
Hate this shit.
I see those. I see those things in Jordan Love. Never too high, never too low. I see Russ. Never too high, never too low. Even when it's going bad, it's a certain thing with quarterbacks. And I remember last year with Patrick Mahomes, or 2 years ago, whatever it was, that playoff game against Buffalo that went into overtime. He was hooked to that heart monitor, and his heart when he was on the field was lower. His heart rate was lower when he was on the field performing, and then when he would get off the field and things were out of his control, that's when it was spiked.
That's
that's the kind of dude.
That's that confidence and that control. Like I
exactly.
know he's gonna make a play.
Exactly.
But them damn egos, man. They ain't some lucky.
Like, I said, they're good. At some point, when you can overcome those mistakes, it's more than luck. Because there's been a lot of mistakes that they overcome. It's a lot of situations that they get out of.
Even that Kansas City game, Scantlin. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens sometimes when you're good, the ball just bounces your way, man.
Sometimes it's just your year.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's like I think about that too.
Sometimes, I mean, I think the Eagles could win, but I'm interested to see how that San Fran defense goes against the Eagles offense. I'm interested to see because the Eagles do have some weapons and San Fran's secondary is suspect.
Very suspect.
The Eagles secondary.
I told y'all that at the beginning
too.
Of the year that
the
San
Eagles
Fran,
secondary
San Fran
is suspect too.
But they pass rush.
That's the thing.
And the same as San Fran's pass rush.
Yep.
So it's going to be who got the most sacks this game.
So my thing is this. San Fran is timing. That shit's going to get thrown off. Can you operate? The Eagles, they're a running offense that passes. You can throw timing off a running offense because those Swift, Hurts running – they can overcome those things. That's where I'm at with that. That's why I'm saying Eagles, let me throw out a score here. Eagles 24, San Francisco 16.
Ooh. I don't think
so McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Debo gonna get and Kittle gonna
Well, I'm counting a pick six. They're gonna be a pick six or a pick.
I don't think the Eagles, unless it's a pick six, I don't think the Eagles scoring 24. Okay. I think it's gonna be more like a
17-16 game.
17-14, 16, something like that. But, like I said, that pass rush, if you look at that play when Josh Allen and Gage misconnected, when Gage was wide open, and if you look at it, you would see, like, damn, how did he miss him? They were like, Gage should have turned this, blah, blah, blah. It was that fucking Eagles pass rush.
Well, he was throwing off his back foot. He was throwing
it
off
was
his back
Eagles
foot.
It was that Eagles pass rush that made him get rid of that ball.
Yeah, he was throwing off his back foot. But that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Like, and Josh Allen works well off schedule. Jalen Hurts works well off schedule. Now, when you push Brock Purdy off his spot, what's going to happen? That's the question.
That's going to be a little different. But then how much is McCaffrey going to get fed?
They're
going to feed him to soften it up. And then once they soften it up, you got Debo off the backfield.
Okay.
You got McCaffrey off the backfield.
But always
don't forget about Kittles.
But this is a physical game, right? Very physical game. And let's not pretend we don't know who San Francisco is. Yes, they are a physical team, but McCaffrey gets hurt. Kittles gets hurt. Debo gets hurt. These dudes get hurt a lot, man.
So you said all of them. They all.
No, I'm just saying one of those dudes is going to get hurt. One of those dudes. And unless Brock Purdy has – remember how you said a few years ago when Dak was a rookie, everything needed to be there for him to be – not now. He's better.
Are you saying that because they're from San Francisco and they saw?
No. What? No, I'm just saying that he needs everybody there because the games where everybody wasn't there, they lost. So if one of those guys goes out, good night. And especially if it's Ayuk, that's it. Because that's who he goes out. He shoots the most.
Right.
But if they all stay healthy, then what?
They still going to lose. I'm telling you, Eagles gonna win.
I'm going for San Francisco. I know betting man, but I'm going for San Francisco. That's who I need to win that game.
I think I'm leaning towards San Fran a little bit too, but I mean Philly could prove
it's in Philadelphia though.
Because Philly, to me too, I think Philly had a lot of tough games recently.
That's the confidence.
The luck gonna have to run out eventually.
Philly got Kansas City. Philly got Buffalo. So right now in their mind, they're like, ain't nobody beating us. San Francisco, who they really play? That's, I mean, like high echelon level.
How many teams at high echelon level though?
What and Philly beat Dallas?
You can only play who in front of you though, man.
But that's what it is. So when you play a better team, it takes that level up. Has San Francisco played at that level yet? No. They caught Dallas at the right time. A little bit scared, not when Dallas was in the
league. What it was, McCarthy, and he admitted it, McCarthy was handcuffing Dak in that offense. There you go. And right. Now you see what the offense looks like when he lets Dak
go. But that's what I'm saying. They caught Dallas at the right time. So Philly went into Kansas City, won, played Buffalo, a desperate team. Should have
lost that game in Kansas City, though.
But should have, could have, would have.
I know. I'm just saying. You see the difference of a play, a game of inches. Philly should have lost about three of those games. But what I do give them credit, they keep their composure. And if the game is close, they've been pulling that motherfucker out, man.
But that's like the year when Matt LaFleur first took over and the Packers were beating people and they won 13 games. And there was a lot of games they should have lost. But shit, you got certain things that put you over the top. And if Philly got those certain things that put you over the top.
The Eagles are battle tested. They went to the Super Bowl last year. They should have won. They should have beat Kansas City. It hurts fumble that ball.
There you go. Should have again.
But I'm just saying, though, just those little things make a difference in the game. And that's anything. It's always should have, but, if, what, whatever. It's always that way.
So
Scanlon should have caught that pass.
So I'm going to go.
We all know that.
I want to go to the Eagles schedule real quick. Steelers, they beat 30-7. Rams, they beat 30-23. Giants, they beat 30-12. Cardinals, 35-16.
Not a good team that you named yet.
Cowboys 42-10.
First good team.
McCaffrey got hurt. They lost to Cleveland 19-17. Mm-hmm. Lost to Vikings 22-17.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Bengals 31-17.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals.
Oh, shit, JT.
Tell me that game. Beat Jaguars 34-3. Beat Buccaneers 27-14.
Not a good team in that bunch.
Seahawks 31-13.
Not a good team in that bunch. The best team they played was Dallas, and Corey just told you that the head coach handcuffed the quarterback and the offense, and that's why that game got out of hand like that.
I know. Jaguars is a pretty good team.
Are they?
I want to say this episode, fellas.
Who did the Jaguars beat?
Let me go to schedule real quick.
The Texans. The Colts.
Which is not a bad team.
Okay.
Wait. You think the Texans are a bad team?
Just because their record is good, the Jaguars should beat the Texans. That's my point. They got a rookie quarterback. They got a new coach. I mean, that's not a monumental win.
They beat the Bills.
Up and down.
But the Bills only got one more win than the Raiders.
All right, so put it like this, Colt. It sounds like to me, if a team beats Philadelphia,
right,
if a team beats San Francisco, if a team beats Dallas or Baltimore, then they're legit.
They're legit, right? To me. If you get Kansas City, a team beats Kansas City.
Kansas City, that's what it sounds like. So I just named five teams.
Yeah. So that's what
unless
I'm saying.
Even if you don't play them,
right. No, hey, I'm not saying if you, but they play, they all play each other. So if Dallas doesn't beat Philadelphia this second time around, I'm just saying that we can't call Dallas legit.
All right.
If Miami can't beat, I think they still got Philly and y'all left on their schedule, Miami. If they can't beat either one of y'all, then Miami's garbage because
Philadelphia already beat Miami.
I wouldn't say they're garbage. They still a good team.
They're not series contenders. How's that?
They're not a contender, but I wouldn't call them a garbage.
It's only gonna be four or five series contender. Like Green Bay ain't gonna be no series contender. They beat Detroit, but that's Detroit. I don't care if Detroit ain't two, ain't what. That's Detroit.
Game.
That's Detroit.
Game is a toss up half the time.
You know, Green Bay could more than likely. It's high possibility they'll make the playoffs. They can't win in the Super Bowl. They might not even win it because if they play San Francisco the first playoff game, They're gonna lose that game. But that's okay. But they'll have a winning record. I can say they're a good team, but they're not top team, right? Top teams are Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and we'll see about Dallas. Miami is out because every time Miami plays a team on their level or better, they lose. And it ain't even good losing. It ain't even like Dallas lost to Philadelphia last play. It's getting the shit blown off of them. Like Buffalo, remember when Buffalo beat them? Living snot out of Miami? Come on. Come on now. I ain't trying to get that. And you said Jacksonville beat Miami too? Who was, did you say who did? Who else was that? I mean, just Miami, just throw them away. Miami's in the same category as the Packers.
So unless you beat those four or five teams, you ain't shit.
You ain't shit. Because you're gonna have to play. You're gonna have to play. So you can either beat them in the regular season or you got to beat them in the playoffs because you're gonna play one of them in the playoffs. So that's just it. Those are the teams. Four, possibly five, with how Dallas, we'll see how Dallas plays out.
So the Jets beat the Eagles.
Yeah, but look at they lost the rest of the game.
So I'm just saying, but they beat the Eagles though.
But that defense is legit. That defense is legit. That's a top defense. Just like Cleveland beat whoever he just named off. Jacksonville or whatever. Cleveland beat the snot. Like, that defense is legit. When they got inside of the ball, that's elite.
No, Cleveland beat San Francisco, but that was when McCaffrey was out.
Oh, Cleveland beat San Francisco. They got a defense that's elite.
Watson came back.
Yeah.
And then McCaffrey. Okay. That's what it was.
So Cleveland had, and Cleveland would have been Cleveland.
But they was down McCaffrey and Debo when Cleveland right. beat them.
And Cleveland had Watson, if Watson was playing now, not hurt, Cleveland would be in that four or five team. Because with the quarterback and with that defense, they are a top team. And they have proven to be a top team.
We've been on a long time.
We got to go. Yeah, we got to go.
I don't even know why you brought this shit up, Coach.
To be continued. Next time. Peace.